We'll do what we can. We're delighted. Again, this is a wonderful lesson. And in it, I have really, over these last few years that I've been really working with Food for the Poor, really feeling strongly tied to this, and so it's my pleasure to kind of bring it to you. Look at this situation. Here are a group of people who have come out to see Jesus. They're so excited about what's going on that they forgot to bring any food along. So the first thing we know about this crowd is they are not Lutheran. And they're there. And now, I think the miracles, I start to see it and perceive it, happens. And Ruth and the kids here alluded to it a lot. You know, somewhere along the line, between the lines on this, something very powerful happens. Jesus has got to go to this little boy and look him in the eye and say, "Will you share your little gift with me?" And watch what can happen. Now note this. It's not a treat. And he doesn't have two. So, here's the little boy. Why, I think he's 5 years old. I love preschool worship. That's probably the thing I most miss about the parish sometimes. And I kind of think, maybe it's a five-year-old. You know, five-year-olds are fun people. Sometime, if you want to have a great time, buy an ice cream cone for a five-year-old and sit down and talk to him. You'll get all kinds of wisdom. It's kind of fun. And I can see Jesus looking this little boy in the eye, saying, "Will you share your little gift with me? Will you give it to me?" Little boy, sure. You know, unless we have the faith of a small child, don't enter the kingdom of God. That sharing act. And then Jesus says, "Watch what we're going to do with this. Watch." I can see the little boy standing beside him. I really can. I can see him lifting it to heaven, and all of the sharing and everything, and everyone is exceedingly well fed. Because that's the miracle. The little boy who trusts Jesus with his little gift, and then the miracles happen. Every time you look at the scriptures, I always see this as a conversation between God's people. Where do we enter the story? Where do we come in? In this particular one, I think that's exactly what it is. Because we are the ones who are given these marvelous gifts. And Jesus says, "Will you place your gift through your generosity, your care, your concern into my hands and watch what is going to happen in my name?" You know, Jesus has the audacity. He feeds these 5,000 people. And Jesus has the audacity to say, "You're going to do greater things in my name." Believe it or not, my words, not his, but for our time, believe it or not, you're going to do greater things in my name than even I have been able to do. I come to you from Food for the Poor, and I don't come to ask you to give money to Food for the Poor exactly. What I'm asking you is to become a part of the miracle and the ministry and the message of Food for the Poor. I am inviting you into an adventure where we take seriously what Jesus says. We're going to do greater things in Jesus' name than even he has done. And I want to tell you this, every day, through the 17 countries that are the Caribbean area where we serve, we feed over 2 million people in Jesus' name. And we do it for 6 cents a meal. In our world, I think it is donor beware as much as it is buyer beware. And after spending years and years and years trying to make budgets work and roofs not leak and all kinds of things are there and asking people to be generous stewards, I think, and when I come to you, you have every right and responsibility to ask me, what are you going to do with this? And I'm going to say we can feed somebody for 6 cents a meal. And I also want to tell you this, because of last year, in our report, 3.85 cents out of every dollar goes to administration and fundraising. The rest of it, more than 96 cents out of every dollar that you generously give, feeds, it houses, it has hospitals, it creates all manner of ministries that you will be very delighted and proud to be a part of. And that's important. I think in our time, when we look at who is using what and how is it going on. Another thing I want to say to you about all of this is I would like to introduce you back to a person. Wachina, if everything worked out well as you're walking in, you receive this brochure. You pull it out. This is Wachina. Wachina's 4 years old. Wachina lives in Haiti. She lives there with her sister Sofla and her mother Jean. Before the earthquake, some 5 years ago now, the husband was there. After the earthquake, he's no longer there. No one knows what, where, how, if he's even still alive. On the streets, she faces death, starvation, trauma. She has come under the wing of we, and I'm inviting you to be a part of that, who are food for the poor. We can feed her now. I'll tell more stories about her a little bit later. But think about this. We are able, with sixth sense, to push back the gates of hell and death and take her life from being a living hell to being something that can be productive. Before we were able to put up a house for her, and I'll talk about that, for her to survive on the street, she's a little bit of a waif, maybe weighing 40 to 50 pounds. When the hurricanes come, and notice I didn't say not if, it's when. Down in my neck of the woods, I'm from Florida, that's what we face. More than tornadoes, which are more out here, that's for sure. I was in Cleveland, Ohio, for some 30 years, so I understand that part of the world a little bit as well. But before that time, basically, her mother, Jean, when the hurricanes come, puts her up in a tree. This is what they do. They try to tie her there so that when the winds blow, she's not blown away. And when it's over, go over and retrieve her and bring her down. One great difficulty is this. That's also the ways that snakes are able to survive the hurricanes. A home we'll talk about. But this is what we can do in Jesus' name. Push back all of these things. And I want to say this to you too. Think about this. Every day we have the privilege, or every week come to the privilege and have communion and share in that. And you know, when that is done, when this happens to us, we take the body of Christ and we are given the body of Christ, the body and blood of Christ. I don't know. My mom used to always say to me, you are what you eat. So, which prompted my sister to say, that means that Robert's going to be a great big Twinkie. But think about this. And Paul amplifies it again. When he says, you know, when you eat the body of Christ and drink the blood of Christ, you become the very body of Christ here and now. And so, is it not just amazing that in sacrificial love, as we receive this and receive this gift, we become that body here and now, reaching out to the most vulnerable? And in so doing, we imitate completely what Jesus is about in the sacrificial meal. There's something very powerful about eating. Rich, poor, in, out, race, whatever, got to kind of do it three times a day, don't you? I've been traveling around the countryside here, coming here to there, and I'm learning a lot about church culture. And there's one thing I've noticed really a lot recently, and that is this, that people who eat and come to the table, a lot of times, afterwards, they'll just want to continue that, and they'll go out to a restaurant someplace and continue to talk. Well, I want to say, maybe just think about this a little bit. What about if you were to say to yourself, Jesus, all this time that you give us this meal of grace that gives us life now, here, and forever, I want to thank you in my own humble way. I'd like to take you to lunch. So you're going to take Jesus to lunch. You go into your favorite little place, wherever it would be, maybe you order it, say, I'm going to pick up the tab. And maybe, you know, the product comes and the meals are there and it comes to 20-some dollars and got to throw a little something in there for the governor so the governor can get the snow off the roads when you got to need it later on. And hey, 20% for the wait staff. Those people work so hard. Yeah, why not? Let's say the bill comes to about $20, $21. $22, in that ballpark. And let's say that you say to Jesus, I want you to come. You know what? Jesus is going to be there. But you got to know this. Often we like to think of Jesus walking with us in the garden and the dew and the roses alone, you know, those kind of things. But you notice in the scriptures, that doesn't come off that way. It's always where two or three are gathered in your, my name, there am I in the midst of them. So he's got all these disreputable characters around him a lot, which I like a lot because that means I could probably slide in and fit into the crowd as well. If, sisters and brothers, through your generosity, you wanted to think about taking Jesus to lunch today, and you were to do it through Food for the Poor, there's a little envelope that goes through this. If I can get it, my dexterity is not the greatest sometimes. Oh yeah, here it goes. You tear along this line where Wachina is, and you were to give it to me, I'm going to be at the back door. On the way out, I'm a subtle kind of person. You can tell right away, I'll be the one in the white robe lying across the door, so you have to step over me to get out. Subtlety is my strong suit. But I want to tell you this. If you were able to do that, Jesus is going to be there with you. But know this. Through Food for the Poor, he's going to bring along 350 of his very closest friends. That's what you do. That's what can happen. Would you like to have a standing date with Jesus? Once a month. And know and watch what your wonderful, generous gift can do and will do. In Jesus' name. I'll be there at the door. Hey, the other thing some of you may want to take it home, think over and see what's going on. That's great. But as the old statement says, out of sight, what? Out of mind. Do not want you to go out of mind. Hey, everybody wants a picture of Jesus, new pictures. Put it on your refrigerator. You know, Jesus says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. Yep, here's your Wachina Jesus. Stick it on your refrigerator. That's Jesus coming at you, looking at you one more time and saying something powerful. These gifts in Jesus' name will change the world. Yours first. Yours first. Theirs second. I'd like to introduce you also to Maria. Little girl's 12 years old. Maria lives in Jamaica. I met her. And this last time that I had a chance to go down there. And it was a wonderful school. The kids were there. We had put up this school. And the kids were in it. And now Maria is 12 years old, but she's only been in school 2 years. Because before that, there was not water up on the hill where she lived. And so all of the girls, from the time they were about 6 years old until the time when they are married and start having their own children, their responsibility was to walk 2.5 hours down to the river to find potable water. And then every day to walk back up 2.5 hours with approximately 2 gallons of water. Now I want you to think about this. Someday when you're taking your groceries in and you got that gallon of milk in your right hand or think about putting another one in the other hand and now walk 2.5 hours. That was her taking her life. We were able to put in a well through Food for the Poor for the good people just like yourself for $200, $205 to be explicit on that particular site, we were told. And we hit water well there. Sometimes you hit it well, sometimes you're not as good. But that one was giving water for over 3,000 people could come out of that one. It was just a bonanza. It was wonderful. But we can do that. For $200, we really gave every girl in that village her life back. And Maria's a smart, smart cookie. And we've been at this for 34-some years, and we're, through Food for the Poor, your generosity, able to educate people to their fullest capacity. I saw doctors and nurses. I saw an ichthyologist from Auburn University whose story is this. He does not even know who his parents were because he was an infant laid at an orphanage, and he was so bright that we were able to go, and now he goes back and forth between Haiti and Auburn University and also over in El Salvador and putting up tilapia ponds. See, the ramifications of a sacrificial gift change the world. We know that. A sacrificial, loving gift, we see it all the time. We even saw it last week through Charleston. We know what it can happen when we reach out in these ways. Can you help that way? And the last thing I'd like to kind of say to you, and it's a big gift, but I'll cast your bread upon the waters. It's your Jubilee year here, and in the scriptures, the Jubilee year is just one of those magnificent times, the 50th year, and all manner of newness and life and power come into being. So I'll just throw down a challenge. It may work, it may not. I know you're building a building here. You've got Meg's ministry that's going on. You do marvelous things, but I'd like to throw this one in just for a thought and maybe a way of looking at it. Would you consider purchasing a home, a house for someone? It'd be a three-room house. It has a roof on it that withstands 120-mile-an-hour winds. It's got a lock on the door. It provides shelter, and it costs $3,200 to do it. But actually, sisters and brothers, it's 6'4", but we're matched dollar for dollar in particularly Jamaica and Haiti through World Bank, other places. But it's now 6'4". So you get a BOGO, right? 2 for 1 on this thing. And those, everybody, my wife goes in with the coupons and all that good stuff. But I also want to share with you just about a 2-minute clip. And Jim, if we could do this. This is about Rachel, a 9-year-old girl at the time.
Difference report. This one proves you're never too young to do that. As we approach the 2-year anniversary of that awful earthquake in Haiti, a young girl from Florida is showing just how much one determined person can indeed accomplish, making a difference for those who still need so much help. Her story tonight from our chief medical editor, Dr. Nancy Snyderman.
Hi, Rachel.
Rachel Wheeler may look like a typical adolescent. Giggling with her girlfriends, going to school dances.
Still makes a very big impact.
But she does something most 12-year-olds don't. She worries about kids who live hundreds of miles and yet a world away from her in Haiti. Rachel was just 9 when she met this man, Robin Mahfoud. He runs Florida's biggest charity, Food for the Poor, and gave a presentation about Haitian children who don't have enough to eat, don't have a place to call home. Rachel believed that was just plain wrong and vowed to help him build homes for Haiti's unsheltered. She ran bake sales, passed the can at homecoming games, appealed to local businesses.
$2,600 to present to Rachel tonight.
Thousands of small contributions have added up to now over $250,000.
I love you.
Rachel never travels to Haiti empty-handed.
Thank you.
Delivering care packages to needy children who lost their school and 5 of their classmates in the 2010 earthquake. In the small fishing village of Kaipiti, here too the shy young girl is a hero.
Is it overwhelming?
Yeah,
I bet.
The money Rachel raised has already built 27 homes.
Most adults can't conceive of the kind of poverty that you see in Haiti. What allows you, as a young girl, to be able to deal with that side of life?
Life is life. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to make Haiti the best place in the world. And then it happens at the snap of fingers. You have to work at it. You have to make it happen.
Food for the Poor believes that every new home gives Haiti's most vulnerable the chance to start over.
We're bringing the people from the 10 city right out into a concrete home with a door, with a lock and a key. To look after the kids and the mothers for safety.
A very adult concept, building homes and rebuilding lives. An idea young Rachel Wheeler has instinctively taken to heart. Dr. Nancy Snyderman, NBC News, Léogâne, Haiti.
3 years old. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Well, she's now about 15. And this village, which is a fishing village, has over 200-some people in that village. You know, there were 27 houses built at that time. Well, now, through Food for the Poor in the last few years, we've built over 5,000 houses through just the generosity of good, solid folks like yourself. We can do all of this. We can do all this in Jesus' name because there's a little boy who trusted the gifts. And you know, that heritage is picked up by a little girl. And that's the way the gospel works. Living through the sacrificial generosity of people just like you, just like me. And all God's people said together,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.